And he says, those who hear my words and do nothing about it, it doesn't work. But if you hear my words and you put them into practice, then the winds are going to come, the storm's going to come, everything's going to get washed away, but you're going to stand.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, June 16th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Happy Father's Day! Our text comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, I said it as I left the pulpit earlier that dads need to be saved. Our text is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And our text deals with dad's behavior and primary role. This is not the word husband, but this is the word dad. There is something for husbands, but today I'm talking to dads. And I like for us to look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And there it will be in the screen. It says, fathers, right? Will all of you say the word fathers? Father. Okay. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of who?
The Lord.
Not society.
The Lord.
The Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, I'm a dad, and I know what it means to be a dad. And I've gone through everything you guys have gone through as dads. And I'm fortunate that from the very beginning, there was a commitment from my part as a dad to train up our children, my children, in the fear and in destruction of the Lord. I put my foot down when it came to the world. I put my foot down when it came to those things that were not Christ-like. Not just because I was a pastor of a church and still am, but because I'm a Christian. I saw that, that's the way of life, because I saw it in my father as well. In all the years that I've known him, and he lived to be 77, I never saw him do anything immoral. He had a temper. Italian. Italian temper. You know what an Italian temper looks like? You don't want to know that. At the dinner table, it was like a fight. But it wasn't a fight. It was normal. Everybody talking at the same time, saying something different, and everybody understanding what everybody was saying. Italians. But when you go to the core, and that's just a cultural, you know, issue. It's no big deal. It's not a critique. It's just an understanding of how cultures work in time. But when it came to the morals and the commitment, in my house, my father said, we will serve the Lord. When it came to my life, and we had our children, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, then kids grow up. And they want to discover their own world. Have you ever gone through that? Well, I remember one time it happened to the guy that plays the guitar here. That he said, this is my room and it's private. So Wilma showed him how it was not private. And when he would come in with stuff from the world like crazy posters, we would tear him down. We would not allow anything in the home that would not glorify the Lord, because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, not the fear of your children. And so, you know, I put my foot down, but Wilma was the enforcer as she's walking in. And we trained our children in the fear of the Lord, not because we were ogres or bad people or mean people, but because as a Christian, I was mandated by God's word that I should train the children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And in my home, we would serve the Lord. I saw that in my family, and you would see that in my family as well. The key moments that were kind of rough. Jennifer was mostly, you know, she's going to be 50 soon. Not yet, she screams. She still has 9 months. Okay. but I can assure you, I completely and totally assure you that it, whether it was a girl or it was a boy, we insisted in the principles of godliness. Music was another issue. See, those were not the days of, what do you call that thing? Facebook and the crazy phone. I don't have the stat, but I heard that a normal person, you know, normal. Do you know that young people today, with their phone, they go to that phone over 2,000 times a day? And that book was written 2 years ago, so it's changed by now. Well, it was a different time. But we enforced, in the right sense of the word, our principles and values. And we practiced what is known as tough love. And if you were to talk to Jen, or if you were to talk to Jeff, who was the troublemaker from the very beginning, you know, they will tell you that it was tough love that helped them. Train up a child in his way. The commitments of the Lord. But in order for you and I to be good dads, and for that matter, good Christians, well, the way I entitled my message, Dads Need to Be Saved. You got to have the Lord in your heart. You cannot expect someone who's not saved to act like one who is saved, much less to impose Christian commitments and disciplines in the home and in the children. Now, let me talk a little bit about salvation. Salvation is a word that we talk about an individual who experiences a transformation in their lives, the transformative power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That when you come to grips with the meaning of Jesus, your life is transformed. Transformed. The gospel transforms people. The gospel makes you different. There's a turnaround in your life, inside and outside. A guy by the name of Eugene Peterson, a great scholar, wonderful man, says that salvation is God's way. Salvation is God's way of dealing with what is wrong with the world and with us. Can I hear an amen? Salvation comes to address the issues that are wrong. And some people don't want to admit that there are things that are wrong. But deep, deep inside of their heart, they know that there's something that is not just working right. And when you go to scriptures, we find out that salvation is a three-pronged element concept. First, salvation is experienced in the past. Salvation is experienced in the present. And it also, salvation is a future reality. When you read the Word of God, you find out that salvation is something that has happened to you, salvation is something that is happening to you, and salvation is going to happen to those who believe in the future. And this, I'm talking to dads, but this is for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. So let me talk a little bit about your past salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved. Past tense. It says, through faith. And this is not from ourselves or yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In this sense, brothers and sisters, salvation is something that has already been done and accomplished for us in the past. Jesus died already in the cross. Past tense salvation is tied to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his work on the cross. It is finished. Salvation was done already. All that is left for you and for me is to believe. Believe what? Something that has happened. You are saved because of Jesus' death on the cross. It is a wonderful, incredible thing, and we could spend so much time talking about the greatness of what it meant for Jesus to come to the cross and die and then resurrect. But my addressing today is not about your past salvation. I hope you're saved. If you're not, this guy will pray for you and you get saved. If you're saved, then you need to know that there's a background to your life that is Jesus saving you. Jesus doing a work of grace in your life. Something done already. But you cannot just be happy with yesterday. Of course, whenever I say the word yesterday, you know what comes to mind, right? Anybody? What?
Yesterday, all my
trouble seems so far away, yeah. You need to get saved, sister. So. But yesterday, the Lord has accomplished our salvation. The problem we often have is that most of us have salvation in the past and not in the present. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, this is what it says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There is that something about being saved every day of your life. It's true. I get saved every day. And so should you, and so should all of us. All of us should understand that we are being saved every single day. Salvation is taking place in your life right now. Yeah, you're saved, you know the Lord, you're going to heaven, but right now you're being saved as well. Today is a day that you must honor the Lord in your life. The past salvation has to do with the cross, but the present salvation is bound on the risen Jesus Christ, Jesus Savior, and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life as fathers. And I'll add mothers too and everybody else. The Bible teaches that God has not abandoned us and that Jesus went to the Father, but he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who cleanses us continually every day through his word. And he's the one that transforms us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Being saved every day means pushing forward the agenda that God has in your life. Dads need to get saved. See, fathers, do not exasperate your children. You need the Holy Spirit for that. You need the Lord in your life. To be a good father, you're going to blow gaskets all the time. But if the Lord is with you, then you're going to have this ability to process the issues that are going in the home so that your children will grow in the fear and in the comfort of God's word. See, dads, God called you and me. God's called us to what we know as being a disciple of him, a disciple of Christ. And that means that you and I have to expose ourselves with the Lord. We need to take more time, active time with the Lord. The fact that we're saved and when you die, we go to heaven, it's not really the issue. The issue is that you're now living in this world with a purpose and a destiny and a project, and you need to get with the program. And the program is when coming to the Lord and following Jesus. Discipleship means following Jesus. And discipleship is doing something that Jesus did. Whenever you are in the world, whenever you are in your home, you are to act out the life of Jesus in your life. So you need to ask yourself, following Jesus is something I do. So we don't say, hey, I'm saved, I'm fine. What are you doing now? How are you living the life of Jesus? And in order to find out how Jesus should act in your life, you need to have an ongoing relationship with him, a conversation with him, an ongoing conversation. And all relationships take time. Fathers, we need to take more time in the presence of the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready to arrange or rearrange your day so that Jesus and his life become the new normal for you? Because that's the only way that you will be able to raise your children and become a true father. And by the way, a true husband. When Jesus is the center of your life, when he is your new normal, then you truly begin to see what it means to be a father and how you're able to help your children in training and instructing them in the Lord. A new normal for you and me as fathers of making Christ the center of our life. And that means that I need to take time with the Lord. And there's another word for taking time with the Lord, and we've mentioned them before, and it's called disciplines or spiritual disciplines or following what Jesus would want you to do. And it's a habit of the mind. It's a habit of your body. It's the way that you you sense God's presence in your life. And when I talk about your mind and your body, I mean, you can't separate your mind from your body. And so if you're going to pray, then your body has to pray. You can't say, my spirit's going to pray, my body's going to be over here watching TV. You can't do that. It's you're a unit. You're it. You know, you know, some people say, brother, I can't be there, but I'll be there in the spirit. Forget it. We don't need any more disembodied spirits, you know. You, wherever you go, you is you. It's you. When we've been looking at the Sermon in the Mount off and on, you know that. It's been our motto for several Sundays. And at the end of this of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that the way that you live out the Sermon on the Mount and his teachings is putting him into practice. And he says, those who hear my words and do nothing about it, it doesn't work. But if you hear my words and you put them into practice, then the winds are going to come, the storm's going to come, everything's going to get washed away, but you're going to stand. Because you put your life in practice. You practice the words of Christ in your life. So the end of you and me, my brothers, is for us to see the fullness of Christ. My life is to be full with Jesus. Jesus is in my life. And we need to practice those things that lead us to a closer walk and relationship with the Lord. Somebody said the end of life is to spend every waking moment in the conscious enjoyment of Jesus' company, to spend our entire lives with the most loving, joyful, peaceful person to ever live, Jesus. Sometimes I get agitated. I must be in the wrong company. Hello? Things happen in all of our lives, and it's been kind of a rough couple of weeks for me in certain things that are going on, and all of a sudden I say, that's not the Spirit of God. Because when I spend time in Jesus' company, he is the most loving, most joyful, peaceful person to ever live. Amen. And so when we spend the time with the Lord, we become real dads. And we are equipped to take care of our children and our wives and take care of ourselves. The different types of habits in the world today, you know. And the practices of Jesus aren't just exercises of your mind and your body to grow their willpower. No. It's not just simply to cultivate your muscle or character. When you get down to the presence of the Lord, they open your minds and your bodies to a power far beyond your own and effect a change that only God can do. There's something about the presence of the Lord. There's something about a discipline of seeking him first. If you were to define the word discipline, it says it's any activity I can do by direct effort that will eventually enable me to do that which currently I cannot do by my direct effort. And Dallas Willard, one of the great writers of the last century, and this century as well, describes this type of resolve to seek the Lord and to commune with the Lord and practice his presence. He says the disciplines, which is what we're talking about, the coming to the Lord, are activities of mind and body purposely undertaken. You make a decision, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. And when you do that, you bring to Jesus your personality and your total being. And you say, Lord, I want to work with you. Lord, here I am. And they enable you and me more and more to live in a power that, strictly speaking, is beyond us. And it gives us strength and power from a world that is beyond our present world. When you and I seek God and we we become accustomed in seeking him regularly and taking time, your life will be transformed. And you will have power beyond your wildest imaginations in changing your life. Couple of things that Jesus did. One of the things he did, which all of us dads need to do, and what I'm going to ask is, I'm not asking, I'm just saying what it is. It's one of the most difficult things to do, but you and I need to spend some quiet time with the Lord. Amen. You know what quiet is? That's what quiet is. When you read Matthew chapter 3, you find that there's a fascinating story in the baptism of Jesus Christ. And when he came up from the water, there was a voice from heaven who said, he was baptized. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And that was a wonderful experience for Jesus, of course, and people around in the River Jordan. And that was the launch pad under which Jesus went into ministry, public ministry. But as you read this chapter 3, you find something unbelievable, because immediately after he was proclaimed to be the Son of God and was baptized, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit to the desert. And, you know, the whole story says that he was tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the temper came to him. But what I want you to notice is that the first thing after his baptism, he went right into the desert. Desert means not the desert like the sand, but it can be a desert like by yourself. When was the last time you took time for yourself in the presence of God? Just go there. I know this sounds unspiritual, but I don't necessarily like Starbucks, but I drink it. But go to Starbucks and go sit somewhere and start thinking about the Lord. Or go to a park. Well, I don't know about a park. Nowadays, it's kind of rough. But go to a place where you can be by yourself. Because Jesus, after having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he went, the Spirit sent him to the wilderness, to the desert, because he was there and only there that Jesus was at his highest in spiritual power. 40 days of fasting and prayer. And you and I need to find moments in our life when we are by ourselves, and we should practice it. This idea of going into a quiet place, it also implies silence and implies solitude. Dads, we need to do that. Turn off Netflix. Turn off whatever. Take time. Take time to be holy. I watch Netflix. What am I watching now? The FBI International. But there comes a time when all of those things have to be put on the side, and you need to take time with the Lord. The Lord is not a killjoy, but I do not get invigorated by watching a movie. I get invigorated when I am in silence and in solitude, when I go to my desert experience. Through the years, Jesus practiced what is being known, silence and solitude, because we want to be like Jesus. Jesus did that. He practiced that. Silence and solitude are the most important of all the spiritual disciplines you could engage. We all talk about fasting and prayer, right? Well, silence is solitude is not something we talk about much, but they are the most invigorating, because all of a sudden, silence in the presence of God is huge. Let me just say a couple of things. By silence, I don't mean isolation, because solitude is engagement, but isolation is escape. Oh no, you engage the Lord in silence. If that doesn't do something for you, nothing will. Henry Nouwen, a great writer on spiritual formation, this is what he says. And this is a big one. This is top brass people. Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. I want you to do that today. Maybe 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. Somehow, some way, in this busy day of Father's Day, find a place where you can simply remain silent in the presence of the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, here I am in silence in your presence. And then you say, okay, go ahead, do your thing. And nothing happens. Are you done? Nothing happens. Just don't say nothing. Just be in his presence, in silence. Ooh, yeah, you don't have to do anything. Just be there in silence. Lord, I thank you. I'm spending time with you, Lord. Hi, how you been? I'm not running away, Lord. I'm engaging you. I'm here in your presence, Lord. Silence is very much safety. There is no danger in the presence of the Lord. But isolation is in danger when you isolate yourself. We're not talking about isolation. We're talking about solitude. Solitude is how you open yourself before God. And isolation is painting a target on your back for the tempter. Tempter will come and destroy you when you isolate yourself. But when you're alone with the Lord, no. Solitude is when you set aside time to feed and water and nourish your soul. You want your soul to grow into health and maturity. You're in the presence of the Lord and you're saying, Lord, work these things in me. And he does that supernaturally. He works in your heart. He works in your life. He works in your body. Sometimes you can't comprehend what he's doing, but he's working in your life. He's working with you at that moment. Isolation is what you crave when you neglect solitude. And solitude is anything but loneliness. You know the Lord is working in your life. Loneliness, Foster says, is inner emptiness, but solitude is inner fulfillment. When you're sitting there and you're not doing things, you're letting the Lord do it for you. Where the Lord empowers you mysteriously in your heart and in your life. So much we can say, but we're having a barbecue after this. A couple of cows died. No one's invited. Meanie. Dads, this is something else I need to talk to you about, and this will come to the church as the weeks and months go by. The idea of practicing the Sabbath in your life. So we're so busy, we don't know how to slow down. I don't know how to slow down. I have to tell the Lord to teach me how to slow down. And there's always the tyranny of the urgent. But there's got to be a day when you say, I am not going to do the things that I used to do with this day. This day I'm going to rest. And I'm going to trust that God will take care of all the emergencies that show up. It's another one that's kind of hard to do. It's called simplicity. Live a simple and complicated life. You're by yourself and you have three cars. Dad, we need to learn how to keep on being saved. How we can practice salvation right now. Because there's so much that the Lord wants to do in our lives, but if we don't slow down and pay attention, we were saved, but right now we're not practicing salvation, and so we cannot, fathers, cannot bring up our children in training and instruction of the Lord. Well, I'm going to finish. Because salvation is not only the past, it's not only the present, it's also the future. In Matthew 24, 12 through 13, and there are many other texts that we can find, this is wonderful. It says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. How many know that we got some problems in the world today? Yeah, good grief. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. There's an endurance that's required. There's an endurance that it needs to be exercised. The past, the present, and the future tense of salvation is one of the great mysteries of the gospel. How we were saved, how we are being saved, and how we will be saved. But there's also an element. To be saved, you must believe. For being saved, you must practice. And to make it, you have to endure. And all of this is done through the power and the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's working in your life. And it's not like the Lord has been absent from your life. Why? He's always been there. He's always there. He's speaking with you even this morning. He's saying things to you. And you kind of wonder, or maybe he kind of wonders, where are you going to catch on? That most of the stuff you're carrying yourself, you can't do it. But he can. Jesus said to a multitude of people, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden. And I don't know of anybody who could be more heavy laden than raising children today. He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek. And you know, the take my yoke upon me, it doesn't just mean the picture of an oxen with a smaller one training, but the word take my yoke also means my body of instructions. Take my word. Learn from my words. Practice my life. Follow what I do. He prayed. He was in solitude. He listened to God. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. All the practices that we talk about, we pray that you will catch on and that you will nurture this into your life. And you don't have to make a big deal out of it, just by yourself. Simplicity of life. Slowing down. Slowing down. Slowing down. Our salvation is assured the moment that we enter into a genuine relationship with the Lord through faith in Christ Jesus. That's never taken away from you. You can be a Christian and be a wreck. How many know Christians that are wrecks? That don't. I've been there. Sometimes I wake up and I feel like I'm a pretzel. And it takes something to get me back onto track, you know. That's what I try to do things on my own. And we always slip through that. It takes solitude, silence, making my body go into the presence of God. Not just my mind, but my body. This body, boy, it fights. It fights you. The body tricks you and says, just do it in the spirit. They're bad. Oh, I'm telling you. You know, there's another book I'm reading, very interesting. It says, you are not your brain. And we're not. We are our thoughts. But our brain has certain paths that follows through and makes differences. And there's certain paths that have been lined up in your brain that you always go to that. You always defer to that. Why do you always go there? Because that's what you've always done. But you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that comes with the Word of God, where it establishes new patterns, new paths. Our brains are very plastic. They're moldable. You can actually have a different brain tomorrow than you have one today. Yeah, it changes and you think differently. And there's always a default for some of us. We always wind up doing or thinking the same thing when by spending time with Jesus, there's like a rewiring. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Oh. There's a whole thought avalanche that needs to come to you. There's a fixing of the mind that has to come to you. There's a process under which God works through the Holy Spirit. Paul was even able to say, you have the mind of Christ. Ooh-hale. We don't use it. We're stuck. And the reason we're stuck is we don't spend time with the Lord. Well, I went into another subject, but it's the same thing. Taking the time to the Lord. When you allow in your own life, you give yourself permission, allow the Holy Spirit to make us in reality what we know by faith we are, daughters and sons of God. Where you say, you know, I'm being cheated out. This is the day that the
Lord has.
Sometimes it seems like this is the day I made. And you made a mess of it. We're not capable. Even our body slowly will deteriorate. You know that. Time goes by and we come to that point of death. And God's work is being completed within us. It's a whole story in John. When Jesus speaks, see, I got time. Jesus speaks to Peter. And he says to Peter, after he denied the Lord three times, you know, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, love me. And he says, I'll tell you what. He says, when you were young, you went everywhere you wanted to go. But when you're old, someone will take you where you don't want to go. I want you to know, there's going to come a time when I will not be able to go where I want to go because I'm too old. And there's a active and there's a passive discipleship. An active action of my life that I want to do this for the Lord and I do it. But there's going to come a time when I won't be able to do these things would be done for me. Whole different ball game. But the Lord is still active there. Still working with you. The Lord works with us. But right now is a time for you and I to be active. That we do things because we're able to do them. There will come a time that you won't be able to. But don't become regretful at that last time. Do it now. So 1 Corinthians 4:16 says that therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. How many are you wasting away? Oh my goodness. Let me count the ways, you know. It was my lovely daughter of 55 years old. I just prompted 5 more years, you know. She gave me a little plaque. I don't know what year it was. She says, let's see if I can remember what she... Oh, yeah, it was something young heart with other parts worn out. Something like that. Yeah, all of a sudden I get a cramp in my leg. What happened? Never had that in my life. Yeah, because we wear out. You and I will wear out. But future salvation, the future of my salvation, is that in spite of me wearing out and in spite of me going downhill, like they say, I'm still saved. And the Lord is accomplishing salvation for the future. Because death has no hold nor victory over you or me because of the saving work of the Father through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he spoke, he said in one of his teachings, he says, you, if you have me, you have life. He says, those who believe in me will never see death. That's what a remarkable statement coming from Jesus who never lies. Jesus who is the truth, the way, and the life. Again, Dallas Willard says that he feels, and I think a lot of people understand that verse, to say that the moment that you die, you won't even know you died. Someone's going to have to tell you, you died. Because you will never see death as experienced in the world. You know, Brother Alfonso was in his sick bed. He woke up and said, what's going on? And Brian said, oh, here I am, Dad. That's the son that went to be with the Lord a week or so before he. Death for the Christian is just, oh, really? Yeah, you died. Yeah, I'm dead. Yeah. I didn't know I was dead. Yeah. You will never see death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will fear, for thou art. Why don't you practice the with God life? Parents, dads. Practice that with life, God. Practice those disciplines. Take time with the Lord. Be in silence. Be in His presence. Read His word. Seek His Lord. I remember, as I see Sister Mesa here, I remember when Brother Mesa was in his deathbed, and he said, he woke up, he got out of it, and he said, "What? What am I doing here? Why am I not dead? Come on." Remember? He was upset he wasn't dead. The world fights for every second, every minute. Huh? We've been saved yesterday. We're being saved today, and we're saved for tomorrow. So death has no hold on you. So dads, let's get the program going. Let's get saved over and over again every single day of our lives. Let's practice God's presence in our life so that way we can instruct our children in the fear and in the ways of the Lord. Don't you think it's important? Lord, I thank You this Sunday morning because You're able to speak to our hearts. You've been speaking to Melissa this morning, Lord, as we pray for her. We've been speaking with Maria, Terry's sister. You've been speaking with Brother Art this morning. You're speaking to all of us, Lord. You call us into a close relationship with You, a dialogue with You, a conversation with You, Lord. Oh, Lord, You're the sweetest, most wonderful, gracious, peaceful. You are so wonderful to me, Lord. You're so wonderful to each one of us. You're never upset with us. You're never mad at us. You don't complain. You don't dump on us. You don't do anything that can disturb us. You understand. You encourage. And Your Holy Spirit works in us in such a way that we are so much better than when we entered into Your presence. Lord, if we don't practice solitude and silence, we don't practice those moments away from the hustle and bustle of this world, we will not be able, Lord, to raise our children in the fear and instruction of Your word. So I pray for every dad here and those who listen through the internet that You would just give us a desire to spend time with You and to get saved every single day of our lives. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dads, will you stand? Dads, will you stand? All right, there you go. Grandparents, will you stand? Everybody stand. All right. Isn't that what you want? You find it in the silence.
And renew a right spirit within.
In solitude, you'll find that.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord. Take not renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
Amen. That's a possibility because you will take time with the Lord. Amen. Amen. I covet your prayers. I leave tomorrow for Guatemala for 1 week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll be back. And I'm asking for someone to sacrifice themselves and go pick us up at the airport at 4:30 on Friday. No, I'm just joking. I'll take an Uber. Anyway, just pray. It's a conference, an educational conference. I'll get to see some of my friends that I've known from Guatemala for many years. And I'll bring some coffee for myself. Okay. Let me dismiss you in prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord on this wonderful Father's Day.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.